You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
What's up, gang? How's everybody doing today?
How are you?
I'm doing well.
The band is back together.
The band is back. Man, I hate this term. It's an acronym, TGIF, but thank God it's Friday.
Yeah.
And we're doing Festivus Friday at 5 o'clock, the airing of the grievances.
Is feels that like, acronym in the dictionary?
Feels like this week has been a month and I wasn't here for 2 days of it.
Oh, my word. What's everybody got going on this weekend? You first.
Well, trying to get out of the red. We'll get to that in a moment. Going to see the Royals Sunday night.
Ooh.
Going to try to get some golf in with the children Saturday, except I'm worried it's going to pour down rain.
It is going to be raining on and off all weekend, allegedly.
Yeah.
Really? All weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just Saturday.
Hopefully it'll actually cool it down a little bit.
76 for the high on Sunday.
Toasty.
Dan's trying to talk and I can't hear him.
Sorry, Dan.
Oh, it's all right. It's supposed to be 69 on Sunday.
Oh, even
Hey-o.
Better.
Mm-hmm.
Even better.
It's here. Fall is here. It's here, people.
I'm going to Columbia tomorrow.
For what?
Oh, lucky you?
To be dragged to an MU game.
Oh,
what are you talking about? They're ranked. Why?
Oh, I'm going to have a great time. Yeah. But I'm a diehard KU fan, have been since the day that I popped out of the old womb. And my girlfriend is a MU alum, has lived there. Well, she lives here now, but grew up in Columbia. And
have you ever been to Columbia?
Oh, I mean, at
you
this
have.
Point, yeah.
Okay.
A bunch of times.
Okay.
It's a great event.
Her family is still there. No, I think it's going to be an absolute blast.
Yeah, you'll have fun.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun.
If I don't make fun of it, then, you know.
Who do they got?
I don't know. Vanderbilt.
You are the worst boyfriend ever.
Hello.
I think it's Vanderbilt.
Wednesday night, I had the opportunity to go into one of those like clothing shacks on a roving. Think of a food truck, but there's clothing inside of it. They have these roving trucks full of women's merchandise, and this truck was only packed with fan gear for women, and
That's
it was.
Cool.
Everything Chiefs, everything KU. They had a very tiny MU section. And then way in the back.
They had one K-State shirt.
They had purple. And I went in there and I was talking
just
to
one?
Yeah, well, one little section. I was talking to the owner because I'm sure Chiefs is what butters their bread.
Oh, sure.
And then, you know, Johnson County KU is probably brings in a pretty significant portion of money, too. And I said, okay, here's your K-State section because I've got family weekend coming up and I do not have a single purple thing yet. I mean, I am totally on board. You know that.
Did you buy some in the truck?
You know how happy I am for that child. I purchased my very first.
Nice.
Now, it's very muted. It's very
is it long sleeve.
It is a sweatshirt.
Oh, okay.
And it's got raised letters on it and it is lavender and it just says State.
Oh, it doesn't say red and blue makes purple?
No, I didn't go with like the Willy the Wildcat. And when I sent this, to all the children and I said, you've got to ease Dana into the purple.
I noticed the word Kansas is not on the sweatshirt.
It just says
by design?
It just says State.
So it could be any.
Yeah, so when I saw it, I thought, this is what I need to begin with. I'm just going to ease on into the purple.
We're dipping the toe in the water.
I very carefully dipped the toe into the water. I didn't want anything
loud. Buy something that said Kansas
State. Didn't want anything loud and dark purple. And, you know, there was one thing with like Willy the Wildcat on it. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
You got to ease me into this.
Have you ever been to their stadium?
No.
It's below ground.
I can't wait. I'm actually.
You want to talk about a massively good time.
Swear to you excited. And I think it's in 2 weekends.
So it's kind of like the Washington Nationals baseball stadium. You walk in on the top level. You don't walk up to your seats. You walk down to them. Yeah.
It's a good idea, actually.
It's really cool.
Awesome.
It's really cool.
And start learning the Wabash, because if you're the only one not doing it in the stands, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb.
Wait a minute. I thought they stopped doing that.
Did they stop?
Is that thing where you go back and forth and back and forth? Okay. I will learn. I'm telling you. I'm excited. I've got my little purple sweatshirt, and I'm in.
I've been informed that I have to wear MU gear.
Oh,
tomorrow.
Come on. They can't force you to wear fan gear.
If it's your girlfriend, she can.
Just wear a black t-shirt.
Well, there you go.
That was my plan, Dan, but it's a gold game. So, yeah. I drew the line at buying my own MU gear. Yeah. So apparently I have something waiting for me.
Okay.
There you go. Somebody else buy it.
Yeah, don't buy, or you could buy something and take it back. Speaking of taking it back.
Don't take the tags off.
Oh, are you going to tell a story?
There's two stories, actually. One involves a massive recall that I'll get to in a minute. Have you guys ever had this happen where...
No.
Where, especially with tuition, there is a large sum of money coming in and out of everyone's bank account right now because tuition is due. And if you didn't want a late fee, I think it was due like Monday or something. And so I get a text, a Venmo request from the kid's dad saying, hey, I'm, you know, going to pay, I think it was $1,600. You pay $1,600 and then we're covered for this, what we owe KU. Fine. Instead of requesting $1,600 for me through Venmo, he paid me $1,600.
Ooh.
Instead of requesting, he paid me $1,600. And so right after that, I get a string of expletives and it said, I accidentally paid you. So instead of paying me now $1,600, just pay me $3,200. $1,600 times two. Fine.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a scam.
Right? I'm like, are you calling from Nigeria? So I did a test because I don't like Venmoing that much money. I did a test for $1. I said test. The reply was, yes, this is me. Well, that could be anybody. So I pick up the phone and I go, what did I just do? And he goes, what do you mean? He goes, you Venmoed me $1? And I go, okay, now I know it's you. I will send you $3,200.
Okay.
Here's the problem with this transaction. You know where I'm going with this.
Oh, I know exactly.
The $3,200 came flying out of my account, but the $1,600 he paid me lagged behind it. So I go to Starbucks today and I order an iced mocha and I am so excited. I'm early to work.
Perfect like, day for an iced mocha.
Perfect day. She hands me the little kiosk thing. She says, just going to ask you a question there. If you want to tip $1, $3, $5. That's what she said. I hand her my credit card and there's this delay. And I'm like, what is going on? She goes, ma'am, your card has been declined. And I tried three times. And you know that look, that universal look on your face when someone tells you your credit card's been declined? It's a universal thing. It's panic. Like when the referee in football says, holding, the guy that did it is always like, what? Me? And that's the same look you give when someone says your credit card has been declined three times because I knew I had all that money in there. So I go, well, that's got to be a mistake. And again, she goes, I tried three times.
Which is always super awkward for them in that transaction as well.
But
like, no, lady,
I've
it didn't work.
I've already taken a sip of the mocha. I'm like, yep, I am pretty sure I've got $1,600 in there, ma'am, and your little machine must be
broken.
Mistaken. So I say to her, hey, let me just pull around front. I'm going to park my car. I think I have cash. That was a lie. And I'll get this figured out. I log into my account, and lo and behold, the $3,200 came flying out. The $1,600 didn't go flying in. So my only option at this point is to call Scott Parks.
And she did.
I picked up the phone and called him, and I got results, and so did he. I go, where are you? Can you please come to Starbucks? He goes, why? And I go, have you ever had the Venmo thing happen where a bunch of money came out and some money was supposed to go in, but the money that came out before? And he goes, no, I write checks.
That's right.
He had to come
you hold your ground, Parks.
To Thank Starbucks. You. And bail me out. We had to go inside because I didn't want them to think I stole the... I think she thought I just drove off in the drive-thru, never to be seen again like a ne'er-do-well.
Well, yeah, you stole the mocha.
Right?
I mean, that's what I would have assumed.
I'd already taken a sip of it. So he and I walk in, and I'm trying to explain this to this poor woman who's like, lady, it's Friday. Just get the hell out of here.
She thinks that you just went out and begged him for the money.
Yes.
And he's the sorry sucker that said,
fine.
Because
I was alone in the drive-thru,
well,
and then I walk in with a man. He goes, it's a long story. This is my wife. He said that. He goes, I'm just going to buy it. This is my wife. And I look at him like, now we're really lying that I have cash. Lie. That I thought I had money in the bank. Well, that was true until it was a lie. And now he's telling this woman, we're married? Lie.
Well, I was just trying to save your reputation because it was tarnished.
What a tangled web we weave.
On the Johnson Drive Starbucks.
It was far from savable.
Oh, yeah. I got my coffee.
And the woman behind the counter is like, what are these boomers doing?
What are they doing?
Just take your food and leave.
Have you ever
Tina?
Had that thing happen in Venmo? And she's like, I don't really need an explanation. Just please pay me and get out of my store.
So if this ever happens again, I can give you advice on how to avoid this.
Please tell me how.
So do whenever it. You are sending a Venmo transaction larger than your Venmo balance,
yes,
it automatically defaults to pulling all of the money directly from your bank account.
Okay.
And so if you in the future get a transaction from the kid's parents for this large sum of money, you send back that exact amount. It will pull it from your Venmo account. And then
okay.
you send the rest in a separate transaction and it will pull from your bank account.
I know. Well, it's a process, Scott, but it will avoid which came first, the chicken or the egg. And in this case, the chicken was the monster and the
egg.
There
was no egg.
There was no egg.
From the text line, no, we did not stop the Wabash, and you do not walk down to your seats anymore, Scott. Last time you were there must have been the 90s. That is correct.
Did they get a new stadium?
They did used to chant expletive KU during the Wabash.
Okay, well, we're not going to have that
and
on
the,
my watch.
The TV people said,
knock it
if
off.
You want us to keep broadcasting your games, quit chanting this because we can hear it.
It's the same reason in the stands at Allen Fieldhouse you cannot wear the famous T-shirt about Mizzou.
Where they changed the F with
yes.
the M.
Yes.
Now, Scott, the text line is demanding to know. Please tell me that you walked up to that counter and whipped out a checkbook.
If I had been at home,
wrote it in the
when
ledger.
She called, I would have grabbed a check.
I'd love to see that surveillance video.
But I did pay with a credit card.
All right. When we get back, I do want to discuss this really quick. Nearly 138,000 beds are being recalled after reports of them.
Not holding up to the pressure,
breaking or collapsing during use. I will tell you, I own one of these beds.
Please tell me you've had to send it back. Please tell me you've had to send it back.
What does that look like when we return?
913-586-7798. Story here from the Associated Press. Nearly 138,000 platform beds sold at major retailers, including Amazon and Walmart, are being recalled across the United States and Canada because they can collapse, posing falls and injury risks. Utah-based importer CVB, Inc. is recalling the Lucid-branded platform beds with upholstered square tufted headboards. According to the notice from the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, and Health Canada. The beds can sag, break, or even collapse during use.
By use, do they mean sleeping?
Sam, to date, there have been 245 incidents of this occurring in the United States, resulting in 18 related injuries, such as contusions and bruises.
I mean, yeah, you have to be sleeping right on the edge of the bed to fall off if this thing collapses.
Right. Here's the problem.
I think they're both in the middle.
If I may. I know that you mentioned Amazon and Walmart, and that's great. Let me just tell you where these very popular beds were sold and why you have one in your daughter's dorm room. These beds were sold, yes, at Amazon and Walmart. However, they were also sold at Bed Bath & Beyond, Home Depot, Macy's, Target, Wayfair, and I am almost 100% certain we got hers at Nebraska Furniture Mart.
I was going to say, where's Nebraska Furniture Mart on that list?
Almost 100% certain, and if I didn't get it in an FM, it would have been Macy's. I just don't remember.
I didn't know that Home Depot sold beds.
I didn't either. Here's why my ears perked up when I saw this story. I was like, oh, wait, what? That looks familiar. My son Jack and I spent an hour and a half putting together this bed 4 weeks ago in my child's condo in Lawrence. And I've never had a recall that I cared about. You know, obviously, if you get one from your car that says the airbag's not working, figure this out, you're going to go in. You're going to do the deal and be like, hey, fix my airbag. But I've never had like a consumer product recall where they're like, you need to stop. This is the wording. Stop using these beds immediately and contact the company for a free replacement frame. I'm going to read the sentence again. People who have the recalled beds are urged to stop using them immediately and contact the company for a free replacement frame. We're going to put this on social. I guarantee you, if you have a college student, you bought this bed. It's the one with the gray plush headboard.
Padded headboard.
Mm-hmm. And the mattress just slides right on top of it. There's no...
Yeah, that would be the platform.
It's just a platform. There's no box springs.
Yeah.
Are they jumping on the beds?
Every college kid in America that is a girl has this gray bed.
If you change the J to an H, I think you're onto something.
Really?
But your daughter is a good, holy, God-fearing young lady.
Well, I just sent her the text and I said, well, this is awkward.
You shouldn't need to have to take this bed back.
I think it just might collapse willy-nilly.
I don't think that's how they described it.
This is what they're saying to do. Consumers will have to write the words.
Move to the couch.
Are we swan diving?
Consumers will have to write the word recalled on the bed support rails with a permanent marker.
Mm-hmm. Then, I think the break in the middle will get that done.
Then send photos to the Lucid company.
What kind of photo?
I don't know, Scott. This is a lot of steps. I just don't want to have to deal with this. But also, I don't want her to be contused.
Or lesioned.
I mean, if she's just sleeping, to Scott's point, I think, you know, everything should be fine.
I don't think we have anything to worry about.
Of course.
Anything to fear. I mean, it's not the rolling over that's going to break the bed. I find these stories quite entertaining.
Have you ever had a recall that you actually took the time to take something back? Because no. I have never.
Well, even with my Kia, I mean, I get updates. I get recall notices from them all the time, like, hey, moron.
Hey, moron, your car's gone.
Last chance.
Your car's been stolen.
Are you going to bring that thing in or not? And no, I just kind of hoping somebody steals it. You know?
So I have never had a product with a recall that I knew about. I took my motorcycle in to get it worked on, and they said, hey, your gas tank has been recalled. And I'm like, that sounds safe. So they gave me a new one.
No, I've never had a recall.
Usually auto is the one you pay attention
auto,
to. If you are going to pay attention to a recall, auto or there's one more.
Baby cribs.
Baby cribs. Bingo. Mm-hmm. Remember the Bumbo baby seat? And kids were literally just flying off of tables in the Bumbo seat.
We call that the 70s.
Right. There was nothing wrong with the Bumbo seat. It was just that people were putting the baby in the Bumbo on the kitchen counter or on a table. And babies were flying off.
There's a lot of things from our childhood.
Yeah, lawn darts.
Of course, lawn darts. What was that sit and spin?
Oh, yeah.
That's how I broke out my front teeth. I mean, those things should have been illegal.
I
mean, you're literally spinning yourself into a complete dizzy. And that's how, I think I've told you guys this story. That's how I broke out my front teeth. My mom, we were in Alaska in Anchorage, and our basement was just concrete. And my mom screams down, hey, Scott, dinner's in like 5 minutes or something.
Right.
And I'm on the sit and spin. I go, okay, I'm going to spin for 5 more minutes. And there I am just spinning, going round and round and round. What's going on?
Don't say it on the air. Do not. Do not say it on the air.
Oh. No, we can't say that.
No, we cannot.
And then she calls down and says, dinner's ready. I stand up, man.
He just keeps his innocent story going. I love this.
And my head was just going, and I fell flat down on the concrete and broke my teeth out. We didn't have dinner that night. I really want to tell Dana's joke. It's very funny.
No. Joke wrote itself. You teed it up. And, oh, remember the sit and spin?
Let's
just get a break.
Brain cells are hard to come by right now, aren't they?
913-586-7798. Hey, don't forget, we have a Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix on right now at Q39KC.com. You know, I find this whole thing about the exploding pagers and walkie-talkies absolutely fascinating.
almost everyone I have talked to just about how's work going, what's going on with your job, will pause and go, what's going on with those exploding pagers?
Oh, my God. I mean, it's,
people are fascinated.
It's a James Bond movie. It really is.
Then it's followed up by, could that happen to us? And do doctors still use pagers?
Yes, they do. And no, it couldn't.
Why? I think it's a legitimate question.
Because the Israelis are not after us. They're after
Well, I know that. But there are other bad people in the world that want to do us harm. The Israelis are our friends, but we have enemies.
Yeah, but they're not as smart as the Israelis. So.
And then my girlfriend goes, what are they going to do? Take out every orthopedic surgeon randomly on a Tuesday? And I go, I don't even know if doctors still carry pagers anymore.
So these pagers, I don't know where the walkie-talkies came from, but the pagers came from a company in Hungary. Apparently, a woman runs it. Her name is Christiana Barsoni Arcidiacona.
Common spelling. Did they finally admit or claim that they were the ones that were making these pagers? Because what I saw is every single company that was listed as the maker, the manufacturer, was like, no, we didn't make them.
Well, the Taiwanese company that was linked to it said, we didn't make these pagers. So listen to this. This is from CBS News. And, you know, and let me go back to what I said the other day, because otherwise I'm gonna take it on the text line. It hurts my heart that innocent people, including children, were caught up in all of this as collateral damage. And I don't use that term flippantly, okay? However,
it wasn't just the terrorists.
Right. Other people who were around them or in their vicinity were hurt, and even some killed. And I think the death toll is now into the 30s, if I'm not mistaken. However, Hezbollah is a horrible terrorist organization, and for anybody affiliated with it, if they lost a couple of digits, or maybe they've gone on to meet their maker, or they're got blown off, I'm not losing any sleep tonight. But the woman whose company was linked to thousands of pagers that exploded in Lebanon and Syria this week is now under the protection of the Hungarian Secret Service, according to her mother. Christiana Barsoni Arcidiacono has not appeared publicly since the deadly simultaneous attack that targeted Iran-backed Hezbollah on Tuesday, and that has been widely blamed on Israel. She is listed as the CEO of Budapest-based BAC Consulting, which the Taiwanese trademark holder of the pager said was responsible for the manufacture of the devices. Her mother telling the Associated Press that her daughter has received unspecified threats and is currently in a safe place protected by the Hungarian Secret Service. Huh. Wow. Okay. Hungary did not respond to a request for comment. 37 people have died. It has wounded more than 3,000, including civilians, sadly.
Okay, what can we again go? Even the Wall Street Journal wrote about this, I think it was yesterday. How did thousands of pagers used by Hezbollah explode at the same time? Okay. And that's always followed by the question. I'm telling you, I talked to 100 people about this. It's all anyone's talking about. Mm-hmm. Why could that then not technology be flipped around to harm us here?
Well, theoretically it could. But, you know, I mean, it would be, those would be random attacks. It wouldn't be targeted attacks because they knew, I mean, everybody in the United States uses an iPhone or Sam, fill in the blank for me here.
Samsung,
Android,
LG,
Android.
Google Pixel.
Yeah, yeah. So those, if somebody wanted to do ne'er-do-well activity in the United States, those would just be random attacks. This was a targeted, specific attack against a specific group, obviously Hezbollah. And because Israel got wind somehow, because there's a mole in Hezbollah.
Yeah, there is.
That they were using walkie-talkies and pagers to communicate. Now, to your first question about how did they pull this off so that they exploded all at the same time.
Right.
It was a mass page that went out to every single number, and it was disguised as a directive from the top ranks of Hezbollah.
Got it.
It didn't say, like, see you later or,
right,
you know, kiss your ass goodbye or something like that. It looked like it was from the top ranks of Hezbollah.
In theory, to make them all sit there and read it.
Read it.
Until
the lithium battery
detonation.
Exploded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something out of a spy movie.
It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Whoever thought of this and came up with this plan needs a promotion.
Well, you know, you be careful saying that because I think the like I said, the most common follow-up question is, why couldn't that be flipped around to target people here? The answer is it could.
Yeah, but you'd have to disrupt the supply chain. You know what I mean?
I mean.
What? What was that sound that came out of your face?
Dan thinks I'm crazy for this one, but I think that there is a legitimate way that they could just, through simple coding, trick our phones to overheat.
Okay.
Because there's a running theory that they hijacked the supply chain and put a micro amount of explosive inside these pagers. Okay. And I think that that is absurd. I think that they just sent some code that taught these things to overheat, but I have no idea.
Let me.
You clearly have never owned a pager.
Let me, and I just deleted it. I wish I had kept it. In the last 6 minutes, I get a text from a number I do not know. It was like a 583 area code or something weird. And it just said, "Hey, Mary, are we still on for Saturday?"
Oh, I get those all the time.
Okay, so that's spam.
Yeah.
They want you to say, "Sorry, you have the wrong number." And they go, "Well, my name's Jane. Who are you?" And, you know, then they're trying to, like, give me your bank account number, whatever. It just said, "Hey, Mary, we on for Saturday?" So I deleted it. If somehow they can get my number, whoever they are trying to scam me, because it's not a guy asking Mary for plans this weekend.
Right.
How could theoretically very, very bad people then not send out some mass text to everyone that has the latest Android or iPhone, to Sam's point, and then something happens simultaneously, not necessarily to a single group of people in America like Hezbollah, just to spread terror?
Because yeah, I mean, I'm not an electrical engineer, so I don't know coding. I don't know how all of this works. But in theory, all they would have to do is send some sort of malware to your phone to trick it to run on high for however long, right?
Yeah, but iPhones, when they're overheated, turn off.
Unless they're told not to by some malware that you just got from that random text that said, "Sorry, Mary, I won't make it to lunch."
Well, regarding your comment about, you know, somehow getting inside these pagers and, you know, tricking them into overheating the lithium battery, they would need to put an explosive in there. Pagers didn't work like that. I mean,
yeah, I'm a post pager in now, the era.
And again, I haven't owned a pager since the last time I went to a K-State football game, apparently. And you don't just walk down to your seats anymore. But it's been since the 90s since I last had a pager in my pocket. But maybe there's some sort of high tech device now, more than just, you know, you click on the button and you read the message or the phone number.
Listen to this from NBC. Listen to this from NBC News. Pagers are most commonly used in hospitals here, of course, yeah, with a 2017 BMJ study finding the devices have remained the top form of communication in hospitals for the last 25 years, despite the introduction of new technologies. Doctors and nurses still turn to these devices to send updates or patient information to other members of a hospital staff without fear of internet troubles.
That's bizarre, because she who shall not be named was a nurse practitioner, and I never knew her in the 6 years we were together to have a pager. Nor
if
anybody.
You're on call, I think it's a pager.
Maybe. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Let's go to Michael in KCK. Michael, hello.
Hey, so I just told your caller earlier that there's an old, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme cheesy movie. It's called Knock Off. And there's, like, explosive devices in the products, and it's tuned by, like, some sort of shortwave radio controller. And in the movie, he just, like, turns the device, and it activates the explosive device. But it got me – I was talking to my wife last night. I'm like, technology the way it is now, you could just put an explosive device like that in something and somebody could fly a plane over wherever they wanted it at, and just boom, you got multiple explosions.
That is what scares me, Michael. Like, we're all going, Oh, it's Hezbollah, too bad, they're terrorists, too bad. Well, now that this is out there in the domain that you could do, not that bad terrorist people didn't know that they probably already knew you could do this, but now everybody knows this is possible.
You know what's interesting, and I'm only playing the devil's advocate here for a second. Whoever is a terrorist depends on which side you're on. I mean, we view groups like Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Hezbollah, the Houthis, Hamas as terrorist groups, right?
Yeah.
Because they willy-nilly just do violence against people that we are allied with or care about. I'm just playing the devil's advocate. I'm not suggesting this is how I believe, because I do not. But I would imagine if you live in Lebanon, you think of the Israelis now, after what they pulled this week, as terrorists. With pagers exploding in markets and stuff like that, or on a train, or walking down the street. I don't agree with that. I do believe Hezbollah is the bad guy, Israel is the good guy. But on the other side, who is a terrorist depends on which side you're on.
I don't know. That guy in the supermarket looked like he was unfazed.
Which not the one who had
the
satchel.
No, the one who was standing next to the guy who exploded and then went back to looking at the fruit like nothing happened.
Ooh, grapes are on sale.
Matthew Pines, Director of Intelligence at Pinnacle One Strategic Advisory Group, said that this attack has all the hallmarks of a very successful supply chain attack.
Yeah, has to be. John in Parkville. John, hello.
Hi. New York Times reported yesterday and was reporting as fact that the Israeli intelligence people who planned and coordinated this had a thin stream of a high explosive, and I don't know its chemical name, but I know its abbreviated name, PETN, Papa Echo Tango November, inserted into the pagers, and then I don't know what they used inside of the handheld radios.
Yeah, you're right. It's PETN.
Yeah.
Hmm. It's a potent.
So check the gray lady.
Okay, we will check the gray lady. Thank you. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Pink Floyd here on Dana and Parks. Brandon in KCK. Good afternoon, my friend. Hello.
Yeah, good song, but good pick.
Sam did it.
Nice job, Sam. Just wanted to add a little bit to the exploding pager discussion, as far as especially lithium ion. It would most definitely have to be supply chain interruption, and the reason being, even with lithium ion, if they could get in and disrupt the safeties for thermals in it, the way lithium ions release the energy when they go into thermal runaway, the rate at which it releases, you're going to see the flame sparks. They're going to be quite substantial, but they won't explode. The pagers won't explode without some type of a booster inside of it or some type of explosive to make it an IED. Work with thermal runaway quite extensively and teach it. And there's just not a way for lithium to explode at that rate to release that much energy.
Hmm. You know what I was thinking about the other day was if this was, and every indication is that it was a supply chain interruption. How did Hezbollah, are they that dumb? How did they not know? Because we're talking about thousands of pagers that have to be manipulated.
They know the name of the company, though, already. You know that, right?
Yes. And the CEO has been placed under protective custody.
I'm sure.
By the Secret Service in Hungary. But what I was thinking was, surely the company sent them an email or...
Hey, sorry, it's going to be 6 weeks while we open up all 30,000 of these pagers to put explosives in it.
That's what I was thinking about this morning.
Please stand by.
Israel has to somehow pull these pagers off the supply chain, take them to wherever, open all of them up as quickly as they can, and delicately put in these explosives and a coder, right?
Right.
Seal them back up, get them back in the original packaging,
yes.
and then ship them off. At what point, after like 6, 7, 8, 9 days, does Hezbollah not say, hey, man, where are those pagers? We got a notification the other day that they had already shipped.
I think the words you're looking for
are dumb, D-U-M, dumb.
No. Assembly line, Scott. I don't think this took weeks. I think there was an assembly line.
Oh, you mean maybe they went up to Hungary?
A coordinated... Yes.
They got in on the process the second the order was made.
Correct.
Because they were looking and waiting for them to order new pagers because nobody else on the planet
Correct.
Is ordering that many pagers.
And I don't want to say the irony of it all is that the terrorists switched to the pagers to try and avoid interception of their information via cell phones. Yep. That's why they switched to the pagers.
This isn't the first round of pagers that Hezbollah has been using. They just decided to get a new batch. The other ones were outdated. They're just like all pagers.
Oh, this was an upgrade?
I think so, is the way I read it.
To the next world?
Right.
Yeah.
The new age, old age.
DJ in Oklahoma. Hey, it's been a while, man. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon. Hey, I know how Dana likes a good comedy. So in August of 24, I just watched it. It was on Amazon Prime. It's with John Cena. It's called Jackpot. And there's a scene in there where he's trying to protect a girl. And what happens is he calls a buddy, and then all the cell phones that are the people that are chasing them blow up on them, and they're caught on fire and everything. So it might be, you know, I know how you guys talk about movies to watch. That would be a good one this weekend because it is a good comedy.
Jackpot. Okay.
All right. Just wanted to let you know.
See, and I appreciate
incredibly
that.
Odd timing.
I was going to say, I don't know that I want to spend a lot of time stewing in this space because your mind does start to go, okay, but ...
Mm-hmm. What about me?
Yeah.
It is time for a new cell phone. Do I hold off?
Right. I mean, honestly.
Okay. Here we go. Sam, I thought you were the king of conspiracy theories from the text line.
Did you see my text back?
Yes. This one is easy, folks. It's a fake story to hype the media and serve fresh propaganda. You can't fathom the logistics because it didn't happen. Okay. Okay. Crazy, party of one, your table's ready. Did you hear about this judge and sheriff in Kentucky?
What happened?
Well, apparently they didn't get along.
They're saying it was a fight. They're not saying what led to the fight or the nature of the argument, but a judge was murdered in his own chambers.
Yes.
Multiple gunshots, and it was the town sheriff.
Correct.
They're saying fired that gun.
From CNN, investigators are trying to determine why a Kentucky sheriff allegedly shot and killed a district judge after they argued inside the judge's chambers. District Judge Kevin Mullins, 54 years old, was found at 3 o'clock Thursday afternoon with gunshot wounds and pronounced dead in the courthouse. This isn't one of those where they get you to the hospital and pronounce you dead. He was pronounced dead in the courthouse. Letcher County Sheriff Sean Steins, who is 43, whose role made him responsible for the judge's personal security, ironically, shot Mullins after an argument inside the judge's chambers. Sheriff Steins is now facing a first-degree murder charge. CNN is trying to determine if he has an attorney. Steins turned himself in after the shooting and was arrested at the scene without incident. He is cooperating with authorities. It is unclear who's going to take over the sheriff's position. He's been sheriff for 8 years. Wow. It's apparently a small town. The killing came less than 2 weeks after Southeast Kentucky was rocked by a shooting on an interstate that wounded five people in Laurel County. We all remember that story.
Yep.
And just 3 days ago, a Russell County deputy was killed in the line of duty, also in Southeast Kentucky. Huh. I mean, what could you possibly be fighting with a judge about that it's worth taking his life?
I mean, with anyone about...
Wait.
With anything. You're right, Sam. You're right.
No, but... Not that there's any list of things where you're going to go, oh, yeah, well, that would make sense. This was rage. He emptied that weapon into this judge.
Yeah.
There are only a few things I can think of that would lead to that type of outcome.
Are you hinting at...
No, I am not even remotely going to name one of them. We all know what I'm thinking and what you're... It's going to be something.
Are we going back to a bed recall?
No, we are not.
Well, I think she is. Who knows?
Who knows? Personal. That's not like I borrowed your lawnmower and didn't give it back.
Or gave it back without the gas.
That is rage.
Huh. I will say it has crossed my mind.
Yeah.
It has crossed my mind. Care to guess what country on the planet is the first to have more electric vehicles on the road than gas powered?
Oh.
There is one.
Sweden.
Very close.
Switzerland.
Go more north.
Really?
Norway.
I was going to say Denmark, Norway. I don't know. Those three dangly down things.
Well, Switzerland is not a dangly down thing.
Finland?
Finland, Sweden, and Norway.
They're all right there. I don't know.
There are five nations in Scandinavia. Dan, can you name them?
Yes.
Go.
Oh, Finland, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, and Iceland.
Very good, young man.
Why, thank you.
Bragger.
We call them the dangly down countries.
Dangly down countries.
Clearly.
With fjords.
Well, Denmark's a dangly up country.
It does
stick. And Iceland's just kind of an island on
it
its own.
It just floats, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's actually green, which is odd.
Because except for the icy parts.
Yeah. Well, Greenland is icy.
It's my understanding there would be no geography on Fridays.
We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news that is brought to you by Q39. Dan has the news in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.